Hello, everyone. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. Join us as we talk one-on-one with leading experts who answer life's most compelling questions, because in a world of uncertainty, we need answers right here, right now. America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life.
Accepting yourself just as you are. With this body, with this appearance, these behaviors, these life circumstances, the most reassuring lines from the Zen tradition was written by Zen Master Dogen. And it goes like this: to be in harmony with the oneness of things is to be without anxiety about imperfection. I love this teaching because it assumes imperfection. It assumes that these bodies and minds will be reactive, that will grasp and get attached, and that will be angry at times and fearful, and that will even hurt the beings that we love the most out of our fear and our confusion. It assumes imperfection and says what matters is how do we relate to that. There's a real sense of shame, and that shame ties us up in knots. And it gives rise to the most profound sense of self-aversion. And what this means is that for awakening beings of our time, people on the spiritual path, that paying attention to shame, paying attention to self-aversion, is a necessary gateway for awakening. It's not something to get rid of. Rather, the way we pay attention to self-aversion is actually the ground of the path. To be without anxiety about imperfection. not to be numb or uncaring, just simply without anxiety, accepting yourself just as you are.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to America Meditating Radio. I'm your host, Sister Jenna, and it always delights me when you can actually take the time to join in and participate in our global family of over 90 countries. In the last 5 years, I can't believe, over 1 million archive listeners, and it continues to grow every day. And I know right now numbers are so important, but can I tell you, there are so many of us that are doing good work, and we just don't have the qualifications to expand it to the tens and millions of people. So don't disregard if you see something that has 5 likes, but it just looks like a sincere person, because right now people are moving away a lot from more integrous, you know, conversations or insights that are really based on transformation of the soul at a much deeper level. The meditation and what we just heard was Tara Brach from the Monique Rhodes album. And Tara is a very good friend of ours here in the Washington metropolitan area. She's doing so much good work. And the sounds and words are so important to help us to find maybe just ourselves a little bit of peace, a little bit of understanding, a little bit more power, enlightenment, growth, wisdom. We are waking up every day with information and new cycles that have us, you know, kind of grappling for attention or grappling for insights and learning more. And you know, things are changing every day and people are changing every day. And there's not always the wisdom to assist us in the transformation and the changes that we need to take. Today we're joined by Yuval Ron, who is the artistic director for Metta Mindfulness Music, and Lucinda Clare, who wrote and narrated the meditations on the new CD, Voyage Through the Chakras. Now, Yuval is a world-renowned musician, composer, educator, peace activist, and record producer. Among his many honors, he composed the music for the Oscar-winning film West Bank Story, and he was invited to perform for the Dalai Lama and has collaborated with the Sufi leader Pir Zia Inayat Khan. Now, Zen Buddhist priest and visual artist Hirokazu Kosaka, and with neuroscientist Mark Robert Walden, a lot of big names of people that he's been involved with. He was also awarded the LA Treasures Award and grants from the National Endowment for the Arts, and Yuval has been doing so much work in trying to upgrade the quality of consciousness. His new CD is entitled Voyage Through the Chakras, and Lucinda Clare is a renowned actress who trained at Marcel Marceau Mime School in Paris and at the prestigious Central School of Speech and Drama in London. She's also played the lead in over 30 plays, dramas, and comedies in Paris, London, and countless others, and she's the author of the book An English Psychic in Hollywood, and has numerous IMDb credits ranging from Law and Order to much more. She traveled to India numerous times to study under the guidance of the Himalaya master, Dr. Swami Purna, and today we have them on the air and welcome them to the show. Hi, welcome.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning,
good morning.
Sister Jenna. Lovely to be
with you. Welcome. Same here. Nice to have you back on, Yuval. Yuval, before we talk about your new CD, what is the mission of Metta Mindfulness Music? Because I know it's growing a lot of traction, but there's still quite a lot of people that still haven't understood the benefits of its quality of music or type of music.
Yes, I think the important thing for us is the intention. When we create the music for Metta Mindfulness Music, the intention that this is not music for entertainment, it's music that would serve as medicine, as a remedy to improve well-being, to help people to have better life, to improve sleep, to improve digestion, to help, to make people feel better, and through that, to make the world better. Yeah, that's the intention. And the other thing is that we insist on having live musicians, not to have all electronic instruments. It's important for us to have real instruments and real musicians, and to treat this music as just like when I write music for a movie and when I write music for a Broadway theater, you know, to give it the most quality and value in the production.
Yeah, it's a hard uphill climb now because real music is taking a back seat and so much of digital music is at the forefront right now. And it takes a lot of sincerity to really stick to real music. We just recently lost Aretha Franklin. We've lost a lot of great artists in the last year or two, Prince. And these were real musicians. These were artists. And we are moving through another genre of, you know, music that, you know, sells albums. And so when you're looking at meta-mindful music, it's an uphill climb. Have you found it to be an uphill climb, or do you find that it's really beginning to open up a lot of doors?
It's both. You're absolutely right. It's difficult. It's expensive. It's much more affordable to have one person in their bedroom with electronic keyboard to make a whole album of meditative music just playing on a synthesizer. This is very affordable. It's simple and it's cheap. For us to hire 9 master musicians from around the world, from India, from Israel, from all over the United States, from Rajasthan, India, and to bring them, you know, world-class musicians to tour with Radiohead, for example. One of our musicians, Shai Bensur, is opening act for Radiohead. To bring those world-class musicians to record, it's not easy. And I must say that really the reason that we are able to do that is Dr. Gold, Dr. Richard Gold, who is the president of Metamindfulness Music, and he came to me with that vision that we shouldn't compromise. We should treat music for healing and music for meditation. We should treat it as seriously as if this is a mainstream rock or pop production, that we should give it the resources and the attention.
Right.
And he really adamant about that, and he put all the resources behind that.
Lucinda, I want the audience to get a feeling of you too, because I understand that the guided meditations on the CD are your original writings, which you also narrate. What was it like developing these meditations on chakras? And I want you to talk a little bit also about chakras, because that's something I'm also still learning more about. But what is the source of your creativity?
Goodness, that's a fantastically brilliant question. What is the source of my creativity? I suppose the answer to that would be higher consciousness. And for me, I think that has, especially sort of nowadays, I think it's important that that's a personal relationship between each person, whether or not it's called God or Allah or Jesus or Buddha or, you know, whatever name you want to call it. For me, when I first started meditating, when I was in my early 20s, I touched something very deep inside that helped me. I mean, to be quite honest, in my 20s, I was smoking cigarettes and just wanted to give up. And meditation is what did it for me. Within 2 weeks, I didn't, you know, touch another cigarette. So I then trained as a Kundalini yoga teacher in my 30s, and not necessarily to teach, but just to understand more about the chakras. And I come from quite a sort of academic English family, and so I wondered, do they exist? and it was fascinating to me to feel actual physical sensations of where these 7 energy centers are. You know, there's the root, which is the bottom chakra, as it were, and then there's the crown chakra, which is on top of the head. And I developed these meditations because I was teaching a workshop called Mystic Boot Camp. And again, you know, the idea was to show that God is in whatever form you wish it to be. And I'm using the word God, but, you know, higher power, love, whatever works, I think, for anyone. And I suppose my source of creativity comes from when I touch that place inside me, and then I see it reflected out in the world, whether it's in, you know, we're sitting in a studio now looking outside at an absolutely beautiful garden, and I'm sitting next to Yuval, who's a dear friend, and there's a beautiful cat walking by. So I definitely see you know, that power in animals and trees and people, etc. But for me, the chakras are, they're sort of like little, I suppose I'm not a very computery person, but they're almost like little kind of computer sort of doors or codes that can open you to different worlds and different energies. And, you know, so just to be very basic about it, the root chakra is about grounding. For example, the heart chakra is not just about personal love, but I think transpersonal love and healing wounds. And the crown chakra is supposedly the center that opens when we become fully illuminated or enlightened. And then there's the third eye, which is, you know, traditionally the center of clairvoyance. I'm going down now. Then there's the throat, which is expressiveness. The heart, which we just talked about, the solar, which is, you know, right in the middle of our solar plexus. That's often associated with will, if you want, like our will. How do we align our will with the higher will? And then there's the sacral, the stomach, the creative one, and then the ground one. I'm not sure if I've answered your question.
No, I get it. I think it's a process to understand it. For me, I think about the connections of the soul, and in Sanskrit we have this word we use called sanskaras, which are the sum total of all the experiences that we've gone through. And some of these experiences, which 99.9% came through the portal of a relationship, if we've been continuing to get certain experiences which have given sorrow or pain, then there's a part of my system that closes down, and that then leads to other issues. So if there's a way that we can open it up, especially through music and sound, but also just through thoughts and sort of rewiring the interpretation of things, I think we become a very healthy society, you know? Now, voyage through the chakra is said to be musical medicine for the soul. Can you both share how can sound affect the well-being and health of the listener?
Yes, there's numerous studies now. We are really living in exciting times, Sister Jenna, because now neuroscience and music therapy, clinical trials and studies bring to light a lot of things that the yogis, the master yogis and the mystics in the East have talked about for thousands of years, about using the voice for chanting and using sound to meditate. And we were told by the ancient masters that there's a power, there's a healing power, and many, many masters in the East use that to heal themselves and to heal others. And this was used in ancient India. We have evidence of that in ancient Israel, in biblical time. There are several interesting episodes in the Bible, in the Hebrew Bible, pointing to the usage of sound for healing. For example, the case of King David healing King Saul from paranoia with music. There's evidence in more recent times in the Ottoman Empire in Turkey how music was used in mental hospitals to heal people from mental illness with no drugs and no herbs or acupuncture or anything but music. The whole treatment was music. So the doctor in those hospitals would evaluate the patient and then call in the musicians. And the doctor would indicate to the musicians which musical mode to play and how long each day. So for example, a person that suffered from a certain form of depression would be prescribed to sit with a flute player. It was the medicine. That was the treatment. And people would get out of the mental hospital and would be healed after several months. I think that we live in very exciting times because now neuroscience and music therapy studies and clinical trials are bringing to light incredible information about how sound works on the brain and how sound affects healing. And that is reinforcing the knowledge that we have from the master yogis and the mystics of the East that used sound as medicine. We have a lot of information from ancient India about how sound was used, how musical modes, the ragas were used for different healing modalities. We have information from the Hebrew Bible about how in ancient Israel, music was used, for example, by King David to heal King Saul, who suffered from depression and paranoia. And then in more recent times, during the Ottoman Empire, from about 700 years ago, there were mental hospitals in the Ottoman Empire that was set up with musicians and doctors. And so people who were in the hospital suffering from mental illness would be evaluated by the doctor. The doctor would prescribe a certain musical scale that then would be played by the musician.
Yeah.
And there were no other medicine, no drugs, no herbs.
I'm convinced that definitely music can be medicine for the soul. What do you think, maybe Lucinda can touch on this, what do you think about hip-hop? And please know I have a lot of respect because at a social level, I understand the whole opportunity of getting out of certain systems that have really cornered certain races and certain cultures in a point that there's no other hope. And then through music, they can put all the pain through their rap and through their hip-hop. But there are times that I'm driving on the road and I will hear a car next to me and the music is really loud and it is a hip-hop music, and I might unfortunately hear some profanity or something that doesn't sound soothing to the soul. Lucinda, maybe you can answer it. Would you say that that's damaging us on a whole, or how do we find the balance with that? Because the current generation has a very big percentage of that kind of music on the airwaves.
Yes. I want to touch on the last question that you asked as well and sort of dovetail it into this question. Because I was thinking that, you know, for me, I'm not a musician. I mean, I happen to play the piano, and my father was actually a journalist and an opera critic. So I was brought up with a tremendous amount of music as a, you know, as a backdrop to my life. But for me, words are music. And I was thinking, as Yuval was talking, I've been into several jails, prisons in both England and in America, and done Shakespeare workshops. And I was thinking about the power of watching a group of men shouting at the top of their lungs, "We are such stuff as dreams are made of." And, you know, of course, there's that beautiful line, I think it's Orsino, isn't it, that from Twelfth Night, "If music be the food of love, play on." Look, I'm a English white middle-class woman, so I'm not that acquainted with hip-hop. I think it's important that if we have a strong, passionate emotions about our lives, our government, our president, war, that I think art is a vehicle to express that. And it's funny, it came up because I do quite a few voiceovers, and I've had some heated discussions about video games, for example, you know, and because those, I think, can definitely, well, the question is, you know, do they inspire hatred? And my friend, who's one of the sort of top voiceovers, you know, artists in the world, said, well, I'd actually rather somebody was inside playing a video game than outside with a gun. So I'm like, okay. I don't know, to me, I think sometimes spirituality can have an almost allergic response to, if you want, shadow emotions, you know, such as anger, hatred, violence. And for me, my path has very much been about, how do I face that in myself? You know, how do I face that? So there's that line of thought. And then there's the other line of thought, which goes, yeah, I hear you. I don't like sitting in a car and hearing something to me which is extremely horrible about women. You know, I have a 9-year-old daughter, so I don't know. But as I say, I'm a white English middle-class woman, so I feel tentative about making a comment on something.
Well,
and Yuval wants to say something, please.
Yeah.
I look at studies of the impact of rave music, techno music, heavy metal, and very aggressive hip hop on young people, and there's some scientific evidence that it does affect people towards depression, actually. And on the other hand, this kind of music that is very high energy and aggressive also can serve positive outlet of angst for young people, especially. And hip-hop dance and hip-hop music can be a great vehicle to release all kinds of frustrations and political opinions and energies. So it has an important role to play. But if you saturate young people with one kind of music that is very aggressive, there will be a negative impact. And I think that the rise of hip-hop, and it's actually well documented that hip-hop nowadays is more popular than rock and pop. And it's the first time in the history that hip-hop rise to that level. In the Grammys and in the charts, hip-hop surpassed the pop and rock artists for the first time in the history. And there's a good and bad in it. The bad element is that I think this is a reflection of the more violent discourse, more aggressive discourse that we have in our culture. If you look at the reality TV and the video, the amount of video games, the amount of violence in video games and TV and reality shows and on the internet and in politics, civility is degrading and the culture is becoming more and more and more aggressive. And you see that reflected in the music that people choose. And the music that we bring out with Metamindfulness music, with the Chakra Verge, is exactly the counterbalance for that. You know, the music that we bring is calming, centering,
I like that,
and creating inner peace. So it's really like a medicine for our times.
So it's like a balance. We need both.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a lot of leaders right now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, and I just wanted to say that Yuval and I and my husband have known each other for many years. And what I wanted was to, when we made our album, was to use music that had that vital soul. Because, you know, sort of speaking to the other end, there can be, in my opinion, the sort of new age music, the new age music that is done with a synthesizer in one room that sounds so, I don't know, sort of, I suppose lacks depth is possibly what I'm searching to say. And I so wanted us to make an album of meditation music that wasn't bing, bong, bing, bong, you know, just sort of light, and it had that soul and richness. And, you know, being surrounded by kind of classical music when I was a kid, I thought, wouldn't it be wonderful to, especially to bring into some young people who don't necessarily know about Indian classical music, but to tie it with meditations and bring it together. And I was playing it to a friend of mine the other day, and he went, wow, you've used a trumpet and a cello, that's great. And we went through many discussions about that, like, you know, which instrument corresponded to which thing, because I think people do expect it all to sound like, oh, it's all going to be sitar music, or it'll all be, and it really isn't. I mean, Yuval has done the most extraordinary compositions, and the other thing is that it was rather sort of mystical and metaphysical, because we actually worked independently. So we sat and had many discussions in a French cafe, you know, what is each chakra, you know, and I said, well, if I'm being silly about it, then the root chakra is Marlon Brando, or the third eye is Christopher Walken. We would give, or, you know, roast potatoes would be the root chakra, or, and I would give a lot of kind of modern analogies, if you want. Then we went away, and I went away somewhere for a week, and each day and sort of did a meditation on the chakra, and wrote them, and he meanwhile was writing the music, and then we came together, and it was rather astonishing to us that apart from one of them they just dovetailed. We were on the same page, because I think we'd use words for hours and hours and hours to literally get on the same page. And I do think now is a time of dialogue, and, you know, people from across different sides of whatever your political opinions or your whatever, to actually just come together and talk and discuss. And where our prayer is that this goes out to, you know, to help, and we intend to take them into the schools as well, because, you know, being brought up in England, I was absolutely shocked. You know, my daughter, who's at a wonderful school in LA, was, you know, there was a lockdown, there was a gunman. It was utterly terrifying for me, the level of violence that's here. And if we can, you know, we can help one person somewhere through music and meditations, I think we've done our job. I'm just handing you back
so
to
are
Yuval.
So are you all going on a tour for your new album?
Well, we're going to do events in different places, and, you know, we have hopes maybe that we'll go to India and England, and right now we're just starting to go around LA. And
Yeah, we've done our first event in San Diego in July, and it was lovely to do. Lucinda did the guided meditations live with an audience while I played the recording of the music in the background, and we plan to do one or two meditations, one or two chakras, which is just 20 minutes total. But the audience sat there and just wanted more and more and more. We ended up doing maybe 6 out of the 7 chakras.
That's when it's working, isn't it?
We didn't imagine giving so much, and people were in tears. It was a great, great impact. And we're going to do another event like this in Los Angeles on September 22nd. People can find out about it online if they just Google Voyage Through the Chakras release event in Los Angeles. They'll find information about it. And we hope to take it to New York City and to other cities around the country, and to do the same thing, to do live event with guided meditation, where people example, can lay down or sit and immerse themselves in that world of the chakras and working on the inner world through that.
Well, Yuval and Lucinda, thank you so much for the work that you're offering and, you know, continued creation of amplifying our awareness and consciousness on the planet, because I think it's most important. So where can our listeners find more information on Metta Mindfulness Music and your work?
The best place is MettaMindfulnessMusic.com, and Metta spelled with double T, M-E-T-T-A, MindfulnessMusic.com. And they can also Google, the name of the album is Voyage Through the Chakras, and they'll find
Lovely.
Plenty of information.
Lovely. Well, Lucinda, lots of good wishes and lots of beautiful protection of your beautiful little, is it 8-year-old or 9-year-old? I'm sure she'll be a beacon of light for our planet.
Thank you so much. What a beautiful thing to say. Thank you for talking to us.
Mm-hmm.
A wonderful experience for us to share with you, because we feel that you resonate and you understand and you know what we are doing and what we are intending to do. We hope to connect again, talk again about the future project, and hopefully we'll meet you when we come to the East Coast.
Absolutely. We'd love to host you at the museum.
Okay.
All right. Take care. Take care, you too. Bye-bye. So listen, through the music, we can shift to the vibrations, the atmosphere, there's no doubt. I loved their answers. It's really a balancing act. Listening to only one type of music can make you dry. And I think about, I was about to mention about world leaders, that so many of them, you know, a more mature genre of consciousness, and the fact that the way that they're thinking seems quite different, and millennials are more progressive and are looking for ways to unite our planet rather than to divide our planet. So is it just, you know, the soft, soothing music that will be the shift, or is it a balance of both? Is it a balance of both worlds? It just might be a balance of both, to be able to expand your awareness, your horizon, to be opened to learning more about other cultures, other nations, other ways of music. Everyone sometimes just go to Global Sounds and listen to those tracks and be aware that there's a whole world existing beyond your regular music channel. You know, what you get on the airwaves, on the radio, in the car. There's a lot of good and there's a lot of positivity in the world. So let's chime into that level of chakra energy and let's continue to increase and enhance the vibrations of love and joy and power. So for more music and information on Lucinda and Yuval, please go to their websites, as he gave it to you, MettaMindfulnessMusic.com or Yuval, let me get this part, don't attack me yet, YuvalRonMusic.com. So remember, everyone, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission, and we really are here to love each other the same. So here is a little taste of Yuval Ron and Lucinda Claire. Here is third eye chakra meditation.
Welcome to your sixth chakra. Take 3 deep breaths. Sense the point at the center of your forehead, between your eyebrows. Keeping your eyes closed, turn your eyes up to that point. Visualize a deep indigo blue echoing into your mind, and spin your third eye chakra clockwise. Welcome to your third eye. You are now in the center of intuition and inner vision. It is the eye that can see when your physical eyes are closed. It can see backwards into the distant past, penetrate the depths of the present, and even into the distant future. You are in the clairvoyant center, the element of space. Beyond the lines and delineations of the more physical chakras is the third eye, indigo, spacious, all-knowing, where you can fly above your petty problems like a knowing smile and a tender twinkle. You have the freedom here to delve into all that you were and all that you can be. Answers to puzzling problems, past life connections, present life missions, and future life possibilities can all be found here. Ask, and you shall receive. You are in the center of miracles. You are a miracle. Karmically, to be given a human life is such a blessing. You have forgotten that you come from magic. There is a magician in front of you, a being beyond us, made of blue light. The magician unveils a screen. You are going to watch a scene from your life, but you will watch as the all-knowing witness, flying high above your life like a bird in outer space. Relax deeply and just watch with your inner imagination. Then ask yourself, who is watching this play? Who is beating the heart of the character that is you? Is it you? Or consciousness behind you? Who is growing your eyelashes, your hair? What is beyond you and yet you? It is not the small, scared you who can become imprisoned by fear and self-doubt, but the great you, the visionary you, who can see beyond your little life, who senses where you came from before, who knows in the depth of their cells where they will go after this life, into so-called death, but really infinite grace. And with this infinite grace and intuitive knowing, you can truly empathize with others. And when you feel others as yourself, then you empathize with the world. And you know that you are in rhythm. You smile at the divine coincidences and play everywhere. You can even see through the tragedies in life to an inner core of truth and know that despite everything that is thrown at you from Kali Yuga, you are love, light, and freedom.